Welcome to the Freedom Report.
What I love about Austin Peterson is his love of the battle. He wants to fight.
Austin was, of course, the rabble-rouser, just to make sure I stayed Rothbardian.
We live in a world fraught with danger, and there is a certain amount of danger that the public must endure in order to secure the blessings of liberty.
For economic freedom and personal liberty.
The issue isn't with America. Of course, America's great. We literally have 500,000 or more naturalized citizens every single year. If America wasn't great, they'd be in their countries and not ours. The question is New York great? And it isn't, and it's because of the last 8 years of His Majesty's reign.
That was, of course, Larry Sharp running as a libertarian for the governor of New York, talking about what it is that makes America great. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I am Austin Peterson, host of the Freedom Report podcast. Today is Wednesday, October the 3rd. Thank you so very much for tuning in to the Freedom Report. You're listening to us either on SoundCloud, Stitcher, Podbean, iTunes, Google Music, SoundCloud, Spotify. We are all over the place. The Freedom Report podcast is one of the most popular libertarian news podcasts in probably the entire world, because I don't know any other libertarians have got 37 million downloads of their podcast, 37.5 million. But that's because we're doing a good job of getting out the message of economic freedom and personal liberty. And if you want to help support this message, do me a favor, check out my Patreon account. It makes it so much easier for me to continue to produce libertarian news, content, audio, journalism, streams. And I would love to continue to help spread the message, and you can help support that cause by going to my Patreon account. We have 4 tiers of support, white belt, yellow belt, brown belt, and black belt. A great opportunity for you to help spread the word, because if you love this podcast today, we're talking about heroes of liberty, where else are you going to get content like this? I'm one of very few people who actually talk about these real serious issues and these very serious candidates. So please help support liberty content and media like this at our Patreon, patreon.com/AP4Liberty. Thank you so very much for supporting libertarian news and journalism. So let's get into the topic. So we've got a whole list of reasons to be optimistic about the future of liberty. I've seen some people out there online who are feeling a little bit depressed. You know, some of the people were upset that I didn't win my U.S. Senate race. That's totally understandable. But that doesn't mean that hope is lost. That doesn't mean that the cause is lost. As a matter of fact, once I have this discussion with you about all these wonderful liberty candidates running for office across the entire United States, whether it's nationwide, whether it's a statewide office like a U.S. Senate race, or whether it's something as small as a House of Representatives in Montana, what have you, there are good people out there who need your help, and this podcast will help to raise some awareness for these very good people. And a lot of these people, you know, are the type of candidates that people would say, why are you supporting that candidate? He doesn't have a chance, or she doesn't have a chance. There's no way this person's going to win, or they're never going to get elected, or they're never going to get reelected. Well, it's not up to me today to judge about the viability of these particular candidates. I might discuss that, but the fact of the matter is, folks, is that sometimes you have to do what's right no matter what it takes, no matter what the consequences of that may be. And one of the consequences of running for office, of putting your name on the line, is that you subject yourself to potential ridicule. You suggest yourself to a slew of potential negative outcomes. There are lots of bad things that could happen. You can have death threats. I had some in my U.S. Senate race. You can have people doxing you, going in trying to find your personal information and putting it out there. If you know, people will come in there and they'll scrutinize your personal life. I would not want to be trying to become a Supreme Court justice right now. Let me just say that. But all of these people, the thing that they have in common is that they have courage. These people are brave. These people have decided to go out there and to put their name down on the ballot to seek higher office, and for that they should be commended, especially because these people believe in freedom. These people largely believe in a vision of liberty that is distilled from the essence of the ideology of the founding fathers. These are real Americans. These are the people who, like what Larry Sharp was saying, what makes America great? These people specifically make America great. And you sent in a lot of great suggestions. It's going to be kind of a longer podcast, but I couldn't include absolutely everybody. When I took a look at all the wonderful long list of names, I realized that there was no way I could possibly do them all justice by giving them all the time that they deserve. I wish I could, but I'm going to be talking about as many as I possibly can. I hope that you'll enjoy this list and that I'll introduce you to a few names that maybe you haven't heard of. But before I get into that list of names, I want to read a quote from President Theodore Roosevelt. Just sort of bolster their resolve. If you are one of these candidates and you're listening to this podcast right now, then I want, this is for you. Theodore Roosevelt, one of his most famous speeches, said, "It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again. Because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end of the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat." Well, what a wonderful quote and a beautiful, true quote. You know, and of course, that applies to me as well. You know, I've taken great risks and I've suffered some agonizing, painful defeats. But it's quotes like these, inspirational quotes like these, that I take to heart, because I know that despite the fact that there are a lot of people who, when I've lost my campaigns, who have thrown tomatoes, who have thrown lettuce at me, I know for a fact that those people do not stand eye to eye with me. The peanut gallery is not the same as the floor of the arena. Sometimes I would just want to look somebody in the face. Of course, no, the haters are always online. They're never to your face. Never to your face. But sometimes you wish that they would be, right? So you could say something like, "Oh, you can talk to me the day that you put your name down on an FEC Form 2. Do you know what an FEC Form 2 is, folks? An FEC Form 2 is the first form that you have to file to run for President of the United States. So I may not be perfect. I may not have been a winner. But I can stand eye to eye with people like Gary Johnson. I can stand eye to eye with people like Rand Paul. I can stand eye to eye with people like Ron Paul, because I've had the courage to put myself in the arena. I've had the courage to go out there and fight the fight." So to all the candidates who are listening right there, whether you win or lose in November, ultimately what matters is, are you advancing the cause that you believe in? I believe my U.S. Senate campaign did that. I believe my presidential campaign did that. And the campaigns of the people that I'm going to be talking about today are absolutely doing that. And that's why I'll be talking about them. Obviously, Larry Sharp, number one hero of liberty out there. He's a motivational speaker running for the governor of New York. He's a businessman. He is a mixed race man, which makes it all the more interesting that he's running as a libertarian in a state run by Emperor Cuomo. He's a nice guy. He's also been embroiled in controversy, and he's not been afraid to stand up for what's right, even when it's his own people that are wrong. And I know what that feels like as a former member of the Libertarian Party, because he's not only a candidate, he used to be a member of the Libertarian National Committee, the governing body of the Libertarian Party, and he resigned in protest over the lack of control by the committee over the message of freedom that the party is supposed to be putting out. He's solid on the issues, and he's a good, strong candidate who's raised a significant amount of money for a Libertarian candidate. He's raised over $250,000. Which is not a lot of money in terms of New York gubernatorial candidates, yes, but it's a lot of money for Libertarian candidates. He's probably been one of the most successful, if not the most successful, Libertarian running in any party across the entire United States at getting out a good, positive message. But he has stumbled, and I'm not here to throw tomatoes at him, but he does have some things about his campaign that I think could be stronger. Of course, we could all be stronger. But it's very difficult to judge somebody like Larry unless you're walking in his shoes. He, of course, appeared on the Joe Rogan podcast. And I think, you know, the criticisms of Larry were that he showed himself a little bit green when he was in that interview. But I think that's okay. Because you know what? Larry got in the arena. He's out there fighting. He's out there punching. I made mistakes during my campaigns. I'm not saying Larry's made any mistakes. I'm just saying that I think that Larry has a little bit of greenness, but he's definitely one of the brightest prospects that we have for liberty now and in the future. I'm supporting Larry Sharp for governor of the state of New York. Obviously, I would never support Cuomo, Emperor Cuomo. And I think Larry's a good guy, and I think that he's a good libertarian, and I think that he would be a great governor of New York. It's definitely a campaign that is worth supporting, and if you haven't heard much about him, do yourself a favor. Sharp is spelled with an E on the end. Larry Sharp, S-H-A-R-P-E. Check him out. He's been giving Emperor Cuomo a hell of a lot of trouble up there in the state of New York, and I hope that you will pay attention to him. And of course, probably the biggest name in the liberty movement, other than perhaps, you know, Rand Paul, Ron Paul, would be Justin Amash. Justin Amash is your typical Ron Paul Republican. He was serving as a federal representative from Grand Rapids, Michigan, before he became a U.S. House congressman in January of 2011. He became a member of the House of Representatives. He was ushered to power on the back of the Tea Party tidal wave that happened back in 2010. You know, I have a funny story about Representative Amash, because when he first got elected, I was working at Fox for the judge, and we wanted to have him on the show Freedom Watch. And at first, he was actually refusing our appearances. Now, congressmen, especially Republican congressmen, do not turn down opportunities to be on Fox News. That never happened. So we were baffled, especially because the judge and I were like, hey, this guy's one of us. We got to get him on the show. And we had to go through a lot of back and forth, because you know what? It was the first thing on Justin Amash's mind was not that he needed to go on be on television and, you know, try and pump himself up or be vain. His first thoughts were that he wanted to serve his constituents. And that's why he was turning it down. Like, he was so focused on the needs of his constituents. So after I twisted him and his communication director's arm a little bit and was like, hey, you're going to be able to serve your constituents more if you get the message out. And there's what better platform than the Fox Business Network and the best libertarian show ever created, Freedom Watch. Amash has taken a lot of slings and arrows of outrageous fortunes, you know, but he's a fighter. He's a warrior. After 6 years, he's actually only missed one vote. Now, that's unheard of, and he was really strong on that. That was one of his biggest things. I think it was a technicality. For some reason, he wasn't able to make it back. But I know that he's definitely not the type. He's the type of guy who's going to lose sleep over something like that. Frankly, we need more people like that, true public servants. He's a stalwart defender of civil liberties, and he gets attacked for it every time he runs. Listen to this. So he ran this the last time that he ran, he defeated his opponent in the August primary with 57% of the vote. He was running against this guy named Brian Ellis. And Amash was really critical of Ellis and this former congressman, Pete Hoekstra, who was backing Ellis. So Amash, like, just absolutely bitch slapped the guy and said, you are a disgrace. I'm glad we could hand you one more loss before you fade into total obscurity and irrelevance. So Amash does not pull any punches. He is a warrior. He is a champion for liberty. But I mean, he was being attacked. You could understand why he'd be upset. He was being attacked. He was being called Al-Qaeda's best friend in Congress. Because he voted against the reauthorization of the Patriot Act when he favored a measure to repeal indefinite detention. And he also opposed reauthorization of the FISA Amendment Act. That sounds like he's not the best friend of Al-Qaeda. It sounds like he's the best friend of the U.S. Constitution, damn it. You know, people call him a never-Trump Republican because he openly criticizes the president, but that's a misnomer. He's just a creature of ideas. And, you know, when Donald Trump goes along with the ideas of liberty, I know Justin Amash is on board. But, you know, he rightly deflates the president's ego when it's necessary. And sometimes deflating Trump's ego is necessary. Even for the Trumper Republicans who are listening, we all need to withstand blows to our ego from time to time. And as someone who recently had a large blow to my ego recently, I can say that it is a very good thing. It's a healthy thing for your psyche. It's a healthy thing for your conscience. Justin Amash is a truth teller. He's a warrior. He's a champion. He's a true liberty Republican. And he is one of the best liberty Republican, liberty candidates, libertarian Republicans. What do you call it? Across the entire United States. I have a deep, sincere respect for Justin Amash. And I hope that he is soundly reelected. And then, of course, this is a wonderful guy who I actually have a personal connection to, Eric Brakey, running for U.S. Senator in Maine against Angus King. He's endorsed by the Republican Liberty Caucus. He's endorsed by Rand Paul. He's endorsed by Ron Paul. Even Donald Trump Jr. showed up to a rally for him recently. He's currently a state senator in Maine. He's an old friend of mine, and he's running to be the U.S. senator against Angus King, who is a quote-unquote independent. But really, he's a Democrat, you know what I'm saying? Kind of like Bernie Sanders is an independent, you know, but he's really a Democratic socialist, right? He's really a lefty like the rest of them. He faces an uphill battle, but he's no stranger to fighting because Eric Brakey knows how to fight. Listen to this. He served as the Maine state director for the Ron Paul 2012 presidential campaign. So he actually presided over Ron Paul supporters electing a majority of Maine delegates to the Republican National Convention, and they took over many key positions in the Maine Republican Party, thanks to Eric Brakey. Now, the Portland Press Herald called this event the most successful political coup in recent Maine history. Now, during his tenure as a state senator, he's voted for welfare reform. He's voted for the right to try to allow terminally ill patients to try potentially life-saving drugs. He's been an outspoken defender of cannabis. He's opposed Medicaid expansion in his state. And he's also a huge advocate against civil asset forfeiture. Now, his victory this year would probably be an absolutely mind-blowing defeat of democratic socialism and of leftism, and a tremendous victory for the cause of liberty. Check out Eric Brakey running for U.S. Senate in Maine. Well, definitely a modern hero of the liberty movement. And up to my northwest, we have State Senator Laura Ebke. Laura Ebke is been a member of the Nebraska legislature since 2014. Her last name is spelled E-B-K-E. Every boy, what's the word for K? Kappa? Kappa Epsilon, right? E-B-K-E. She's taken a lot of bold stances for liberty as a state rep. She voted to repeal the state's death penalty. She voted against the gas tax increases. And she also voted to sustain the governor's veto of legislation, which is a very important check and balance on power. Now, what's incredible about her was that she was elected as a Republican, but she switched parties. She's been a member of the legislature since 2014, but in 2016, she was sick of the Republican Party not keeping their promises. She joined the Libertarian Party in 2016, and she is just a good-hearted person who believes in the cause. And she needs, if she can get reelected as a Libertarian, that will be a good thing. That will be a very good thing. The Libertarian Party of Nebraska is very strong. They're good. They're well-organized. It's very difficult, of course, to get elected as a Libertarian, but because she was elected as a Republican, because she's a sitting state rep, or excuse me, state senator, because she is in power now, it's possible she could be reelected as a Libertarian, which would be a very good thing for her, and obviously a very good thing for the Libertarian Party as a whole. And she's very kind. I've knew her. She was very nice to me when I switched parties the opposite way, when I went from the Libertarian Party to the Republican Party. She was always very kind about that. She's in a tough reelection bid. If she's reelected, it'll be a huge win. So check out Laura Ebke running in the state of Nebraska. And then this guy who came up on my radar recently because a good friend of mine is actually running his campaign. Josh Guckert used to actually be the editor-in-chief of the Libertarian Republic, which is the host of this podcast. Isn't it interesting how you start from such humble beginnings? It kind of reminds me of Liberty Laura, you know. Now she's the communications director for Thomas Massey on Capitol Hill. She started out as a volunteer for this website, you know. Josh Guckert was a volunteer for the website, and then he became editor-in-chief, and now he's out running the campaign of U.S. Senate candidate Dale Kearns, running as a Libertarian in Pennsylvania against Republican Lou Barletta and Democrat Bob Casey. Now, Dale's not your standard Libertarian Party U.S. Senate candidate because he's actually polling well. He's kind of defying the odds. A recent poll reported by Fox News showed that Dale is taking as much as 11% of the voters in his race. I mean, that's giant for an LP candidate. For a U.S. Senate seat, for a Libertarian candidate to be polling that high, that's very powerful. That's a big deal. Now, he's an electrical contractor, and his campaign website features detailed stances on important issues. One of those, which really caught my eye, is the fact that he claims to be pro-life, openly pro-life, which is actually a pretty unusual stance for LP official members to take. He said he's for overturning Roe versus Wade and letting states have more authority on the matter, and we should get the federal government out of it. He is a Libertarian who is running for office, who is having an impact, who has a good team behind him, and I wish him well. Check out Dale Kearns running for U.S. Senate in the state of Pennsylvania as a Libertarian. And one of my favorite people in the whole United States running for office is Denver Riggleman. What a great last name. How could you not like a person whose last name is Riggleman? And especially when their first name is Denver. I mean, he's probably got one of the coolest, most fun names that you could have. My name is Denver Riggleman. Well, Denver Riggleman is running for Congress as a Republican in Virginia's 5th Congressional District. Now, he wasn't running for this office initially. There was a sitting congressman, a Republican member of Congress, who dropped out of the race and was not running for re-election. So Denver was sort of in a tussle for the nomination of the Republican Party, which he won, and he became the party's nominee. Now, he's running against a Democrat, Leslie Cockburn, and he does have a good chance of winning. He's a decorated Air Force veteran and a successful business owner. He's also a distiller and salesman of many fine whiskeys, and he's been a huge supporter of the Liberty Movement, getting behind the campaign of Nick Freitas of Virginia and mine as well here in Missouri. He's a good friend and a good libertarian Republican. And he's got Founding Father written all over him. The guy brews his own whiskey. He started a group called the Whiskey Rebellion for Denver Riggleman. He's got wonderful people behind him like Addison Rae Garner and so many other good people, Tanner Hirschfeld. Just two young Liberty Republicans, two young Liberty Movement activists who are really moving and shaking things out there who are behind him. So you need to check out Denver Riggleman because he's strong on property rights. He's strong on fiscal responsibility. He's strong on national defense and on healthcare. I mean, if you're a Liberty Republican, then you know where he stands on those issues. Now, if you're for big government, this is not your guy. You know, Denver's win would actually be a really big win for the Liberty Movement this year. So I'm highly recommending that you find out more about him. Riggleman is like wiggle. R-I-G-G-L-E-M-A-N, Denver Riggleman, like Wiggleman, successful business owner, true Liberty Republican. If he gets into Congress this fall, I mean, it's going to be anarchy. he's the type of, Denver Riggleman is the type of guy that would just drive people like Nancy Pelosi insane. So if you want to see Nancy Pelosi tearing what's left of her hair out, then get Denver Riggleman elected in Virginia's 5th Congressional District so that we can see that happen. I want to see him on the floor of the House causing trouble, don't you? Check him out. All right, and one last, one big name that I need to discuss before I get into the honorable mentions of some other candidates that are out there moving and shaking and making waves and whose victories would be such a good thing for the cause of freedom. Governor Gary Johnson. Now, I know you all want to hear, there's a lot of, I ran against him for the presidency, and so a lot of people are going to be listening to what I have to say right now, and, I'm not going to try and be wishy-washy here, and there's this old statement of, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all, but, I feel compelled to say something about this race, because so many people obviously are asking me about it. Many people know that there was a bitter rivalry between myself and Governor Gary Johnson for the 2016 presidential nomination. I gave him a really hard time. So it's understandable why he would be upset with me because I poked and I punched and I prodded. And, some of the things that I said or did, I thought were not the right way, were not the most, I did not handle with the utmost of decorum or aplomb. But I do also have some valid criticisms of Governor Johnson. But I think that if I'm being objective, taking my emotions out of it, taking certain things out of it, I think, objectively speaking, a win of Governor Gary Johnson would be a good thing. And that's because of his policies. But here's where the criticism comes in. See, I think that the issue with Governor Gary Johnson, of course, is that he's a good candidate on paper, right? But it's the delivery that's the problem. And while we like good candidates on paper because Liberty Republicans and libertarians and, constitutional conservatives, for the most part, we're big, just huge effing nerds. We're effing nerds. And we love our effing nerds. We are engineers and we need more salesmen. And when it comes to selling the message of liberty, we know that Gary Johnson is not the best at that. Even his own supporters will agree with that. But he's got some sterling credentials that look fantastic on paper. He's been governor of a state. He's polling well. He's been endorsed by Rand Paul. There's a lot, I think that it's almost all upsides if he wins and very few downsides. The upsides being that we get someone who believes in fiscal responsibility, that we break the two-party stranglehold at the federal level, that we have someone in there who's not beholden to the two-party system. I think that would be a good thing. And of course, the cons are that he could just make us look bad by stumbling and bumbling through a, you know, his Senate campaign for the next month, which is all there is, you know, that could be. But that's such a small thing compared to the giant wins. Like, honestly, when I looked at the cons of Governor Gary Johnson, you know, and again, you know, taking out all our personal beef, you know, the pros outweigh the cons. Objectively speaking, the pros outweigh the cons. So if he wins, I think overall it'll be a good thing. There will be some cons, but for the most part, it would be a good thing. Now let's talk about my honorable mentions. Now, Missouri is heavily represented here because obviously I ran for office here and I know many of these good people personally, and I know they're Liberty Republicans, and I know that they will be good representatives. Tony Lovasco. Tony Lovasco is a township committeeman in the St. Charles County Republican Central Committee. He's tech geek, computer salesman, and a hell of a nice guy. Big supporter of my U.S. Senate campaign. He's now a candidate for state rep. Now, he originally ran unsuccessfully for like a town council, I believe. But then through a miracle of circumstances, someone who was running for the state rep seat got promoted to a higher office. And thanks to the new governor, Mike Parson, and Tony Lovasco is now the Republican candidate, which, so it's even better than him being on the town council. I think it's wonderful. He's endorsed by the Republican Liberty Caucus. He's supported by Yao. He and his wife, Eva, are lovely people. They're huge supporters. He would be a solid addition to the Missouri legislature, and he's someone who I stand behind and endorse fully. And it's just, it's exciting to me. You know, I think about all these national races and these big races, but I'm looking at all these candidates here in Missouri. I mean, Missouri has a wealth of Liberty Republicans running for office at the state level. I think it's really exciting. I'm really optimistic for the future because of all these good people. Imagine if Tony Lovasco wins. Imagine if my next candidate, Dottie Bailey, wins. She's running for the Missouri State House of Representatives in the 110th House District. She's a fierce warrior for conservative values. She's got a perfect rating for the NRA. She's got a ton of great local endorsements. She's a single mom, and she's out there knocking doors and working hard to be a good representative for Missourians. I've known Dottie for a while now. We've hung out personally. I'm supporting her, and I've endorsed her. And she's got a good heart, and she's one of those people that people, I think, will underestimate in the beginning, but then she will blow you away with how intelligent and tactful and strategic she can be. And I think that if you're looking at Missouri in terms of state house, we have a wealth of good candidates, but she's definitely up there in the top five. So I definitely would hope that people in the 110th House District are going to be voting for Dottie Bailey, that's for sure. Because imagine Tony Lovasco, Dottie Bailey, and my next candidate, Ben Baker. Ben Baker is probably the strongest Second Amendment candidate in the whole state of Missouri, and he's running for state rep. He's currently the mayor of Neosho. He's running for the House of Representatives in Southwest Missouri. He is a strong conservative Christian family man, and when I say conservative, I mean true conservative, not the fake conservatives like many of us are all too familiar with. He is a true conservative, and that is something that I appreciate, because while libertarianism and conservatism are often distinct, there's a lot of overlap there. And Ben Baker and his wife Naomi Thomas Baker were one of the few people to come out and openly support me in my U.S. Senate race, knowing that they had nothing to gain. They took a stand on principle. They took a risk. They stuck their neck out for me, and I won't forget that. I have a wonderful story. The very first time, I'll never forget. I think the first time I met Ben Baker, I actually cried. Because I think he was the one that asked me at a little town hall that we were having. It was like not a Lincoln Days event, but like a Pachyderms Club or something. He and his wife, Naomi, came out to see me. I was addressing the group in Southwest Missouri during my campaign, and he asked me about my belief in God. He brought up the question of faith and religion. And I think, you know, I gave a pretty long-winded answer about who I am and what I believe. And you know, I think they were skeptical at first, but once they understood where my belief in intrinsic values or where my, he asked me about where do I get my moral compass, and we had a discussion about that. You know, him as a conservative Christian voting for an agnostic libertarian for a high office, I think that those are the kinds of breakthroughs that we need more of in this country, more reaching across, right? The not the partisan necessarily divide, but the factional divide within the Republican Party, within the Liberty Movement. We need less factional. We need less factionalism. Let's face it, we do. Well, Ben Baker is one of the strongest lights in Missouri for a conservative future, true conservative future. Coming out of Southwest Missouri, very conservative portion of the state, Ben Baker getting elected would be one of the best things to happen to the state of Missouri. And I don't care what anybody says about it. Him and his wife, Naomi Thomas Baker, have good hearts, and I believe in them. And I believe Ben Baker will be a great representative. So we got Dottie Bailey, Ben Baker, Tony Lovasco, Oh, who else we got? Oh, there's Tina Martin Goodrick and David Martin, her brother David Martin. Tina Martin and David Martin. Tina Martin's Tina Martin Goodrick. She's running for state representative in District 9. She's a strong Liberty Republican, one of the kindest people you'll ever meet. And her husband, David Martin, or not husband, excuse me, sorry guys, they're brother and sister. I know this. It's just, it's too easy to make that mistake. Sorry guys. But David Martin is running for the House of Reps in Missouri in the 23rd District. They're both strong Liberty Republicans. They were both big supporters of my U.S. Senate campaign. They are both Ron Paul-style Republicans, and I wish them the best in their races. And then, of course, we've got Tina Martin Goodrick, David Martin, and we've got Ben Baker and Dottie Bailey and Tony Lavasco, but we're not done yet. Oh, no, because the state of Missouri also has Adam Jennings. Adam Jennings is running for state representative in District 69. Woo! Another good Liberty Republican, another supporter of my campaign, another hope for a bright future for Missouri. I mean, you guys, a lot of people were talking about, oh, if Austin wins, I'm going to move to Missouri. You should probably move to Missouri anyway because of people like David Martin, Tina Martin, Adam Jennings, Ben Baker, Dottie Bailey, and Tony Lavasco. I mean, what a wealth of Liberty Republicans who are running here in the state of Missouri. Very exciting. And the prospects for us to have really good public officials here in Missouri is very good. You just don't see this in a lot of states. I'm just really delighted, and I'm so happy to be friends with so many of them and offer them my support however I can. And, of course, one person that I do have to mention, but you've heard me talk about her a lot, Sondra McDowell. She's a strong Christian conservative. She has an open mind and a loving heart. She's not a judgmental person. She's not a hateful person. She's a kind, loving family woman. She has 5 kids, 2 sets of twins. She's got a loving husband, Jonathan McDowell. They're both lawyers. They're both hard workers. They're both fiscal conservatives. And, Sondra McDowell is someone who I had on the radio show when I filled in for Gary Nolan in Columbia. And she is running for auditor. It's one of the most important positions below the U.S. Senate race between Josh Hawley and Claire McCaskill. And Sondra McDowell is running to be our auditor, which is important because if another bill passes here in Missouri, excuse me, another piece of legislation, not legislation, ballot initiative, excuse me, thank you for those being technical. Ballot initiative Clean Missouri is essentially redistricting in Missouri, which would give the power to redistrict ultimately to the auditor in the state of Missouri, which is why we need a good conservative like Sondra McDowell to ensure that we don't allow the Democrats to redistrict this state. Because, listen, we got lots of gripes with Republicans, but I don't want to live in a Democratic-controlled state. I have. It's hell. It's a nightmare. Not for me. Not for me. So Sondra McDowell, she talks about tax reform. She talks about auditing our government agencies. I believe that that she is good, honest, and that she will be a good steward of the finances of Missouri's government. And then around the country, there are some other candidates that I do have to mention. There is Matt Gertler, who is a state rep from Georgia running for re-election, endorsed by Young Americans for Liberty. Gertler is spelled G-U-R-T-L-E-R. If you're in the state of Georgia, get in touch with Matt Gertler. Help get him over the finish line this fall. In New Jersey, running for U.S. Senate, Murray Sabrin, a Ron Paul Republican, very intelligent. He's run before, and I met him several times. He's a good man with a good heart and a very good candidate. And then, of course, I will settle with one final mention, and that will be, when my notes disappear, Jake Porter. Jake Porter is a Libertarian running for the governor of Iowa. He hasn't really gotten a fair shake with the debates up there, but he has run a very strong principled campaign. I just watched him sit in front of an editorial board of a newspaper out there. They live streamed it, which was kind of interesting. I had to do that as well with the Kansas City Star. And I have to tell you, folks, he did well under pressure. He looked very serious, very credible. He had good answers. When he was put on the spot, he knew exactly what to say. He's been a Libertarian Republican for a long time. He's a good friend and someone who I trust and I think would be a very good pick. If you're in Iowa and you're looking for someone outside of the two parties, Jake Porter running as a Libertarian for the governor of Iowa. And that's it. And why did I do this? I did this podcast because I felt out there a small sense of despair. I think sometimes people pick up a little bit of the energy that I'm putting out there because I have so many people who are listening. And I know some you get post-campaign blues. It happens. You know, when you go out there and you fall on your face like I did, you're going to go through a little bit of depression because you went out there and you put yourself out there and you fell in front of your face in front of everybody. You know, that's just part of the risk that you have to take. But all of these candidates are taking that same risk. Not all of these candidates are going to win, but not all of them are going to lose. I know some of them that are pretty much guaranteed to win, provided, you know, certain circumstances continue as they are. But I'll just say this. I have great, deep, and enduring respect for the people who believe in the principles of liberty, who have the guts, who have the cojones to go and put their name on the ballot, to do as Teddy Roosevelt said, be the man in the arena, because it's going to take people like this running for office across the United States. It's going to take wave after wave after wave of libertarians and conservatives putting their names on the lines, taking great risks for possible great rewards. We have nothing to lose but our freedom. That's it for the Freedom Report podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so very much. Did you enjoy this? Do you want more content like this? Well, I've got to have your support, folks, because I can't just do this on my own. I've got to have your support. Please go to my Patreon page. It's at AP4Liberty, patreon.com. That's patreon.com/AP4Liberty, AP for Liberty. And don't forget, of course, to subscribe here to the Freedom Report podcast. You like this podcast, you want to get more. I'm also live streaming on Twitch as well. This week, I'm doing a Heroes of the Great War series, playing Battlefield 1, playing some really fun. It's a really fun video game based on World War I. It's a World War I shooter, and I'm talking about some of my favorite war stories, war heroes from the Great War. You can find me on Twitch at NYCproducer1776. Hit me up on Patreon. You can download this Freedom Report podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, Podbean, Stitcher. You know the drill. I love you guys. And don't forget, keep hope alive. Rebellions are built on hope, and we are the resistance, the true resistance, not the social democratic bullcrap coming from the left. Because to be a conservative, to be a libertarian in today's environment is to be a revolutionary. And as Ron Paul always said, the revolution continues. Thank you very much, folks. See you next week.